Holy Spirit, give me words to encourage your people. Grant us remember only what comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Ascension Sunday, when we celebrate and experience once again the moment when Jesus enters heaven to be seated and enthroned at the right hand of God. It is because Jesus is there that the kingdom can come on earth as it is in heaven, and we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can be fully human. This is a glorious day. And this morning, as we think about how we participate in God's work to redeem the world, I was thinking about someone who has been a hero to me. Darryl Davis is a jazz musician. He plays blues piano. And he's one of these people that when he shares his music with a crowd, people, even the stodgiest ones, can't resist tapping their feet, clapping their hands, singing, or standing up. He is a gifted musician who's very generous of spirit. He also has another hobby for which he's gotten a lot of attention. More about that in a moment. When he was in his later 30s, Mr. Davis had just finished a concert at a club, and he sat down at a table and was joined by two guys in their later 50s. And the first man said to Davis, "You are a really amazing piano player." Davis said, "Thank you." The man said, "I have never heard a black man who can play like, you know, the Jerry Lee Lewis style jazz piano." And Mr. Davis said, "You know where jazz came from?" And the fellow said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Have you ever heard of Fats Domino? Have you ever heard of Little Richard?" And this was a revelation for this fellow whose understanding of music just went back to Elvis. And Mr. Davis then began to open the musical scriptures to this gentleman and reveal to him a whole world of jazz pianists that he had never heard of before. And as the warmth began to swell at the table, the gentleman shared another secret with Mr. Davis. He said, "I don't think I've ever sat and had a drink with a black man before." And Mr. Davis says, "Well, that's a peculiar thing. How did you get to be this advanced, mature age without that experience?" And his friend, who was sitting beside him, began poking him in the ribs. And he said, "Tell him, tell him." And the man said to Davis, "Well, I'm a member of the Ku Klux Klan." And Davis burst out laughing. He thought it was a really rich joke until the gentleman opened his wallet and produced his membership card. At which point Davis sort of froze and then went back to talking about music. At the end of the conversation, this gentleman asked, "Is there a chance that I can come hear you play again? And I would like to bring some of my friends." And Davis said, "Why, certainly." I find this story interesting in light of what Peter is telling us this morning, that if we follow in the way of Jesus, if we love as Jesus loves, if we believe that Jesus is always coming closer to redeem the world, and we don't have to be afraid or defend ourselves with a sort of violent, defensive, reactive habits that we form to protect our egos and ourselves, if we believe that, then we are empowered by the Spirit of Jesus to bear with people a little longer. We are empowered by the Spirit of Jesus to put up with, to be patient with, to resist evil while loving others. And that, as Peter is writing to his community in Asia Minor, involves suffering. Suffering in the sense of bearing with something that just wears us down. Bearing with things that hurt. Bearing with resisting what is comfortable for us so that God can do something surprising through us. Davis found these conversations illuminating. And the people that were speaking to him often were surprised. One other gentleman was sitting with him in a car one evening in a long conversation, and he said, well, you know, it's just that it's sort of this thing that, you know, black people are genetically inclined to violence. And Davis said, you know, I'm a black man, and I've never robbed anybody or mugged anybody. And the fella said, well, that's just because the gene hasn't expressed itself yet in your life. Davis thought for a moment, and he said, well, you know, I'm really concerned that white people are genetically inclined to be serial killers. The white gentleman responded, well, I'm not one. And Davis said, can you name one black serial killer? And the gentleman couldn't think of any. And then Davis began to list Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer and all the serial killers that he could remember, all of whom were the same color. And the white gentleman said, well, that's just silly. That's just stupid. And as he sat there in thought, a light began to come on for him. And as he and Davis laughed together and got closer over time, this gentleman eventually came to visit Davis at his home and gave him his Klan robe because he had decided to leave that organization because he no longer believed in its tenets. Over time, Davis's patience, his being with people, his suffering, I can only imagine how many insults in the course of these conversations. More than 200 people have given him their Klan robes, and he is single-handedly responsible for people finding freedom from a way of thinking that had trapped them in hatred and despair. He became, for people, a witness of something that they hadn't previously imagined, and as a result, he became a way for them to escape into something better. Now, Jesus' ascension gives us the same power. Because Jesus is at the right hand of God, we can be confident that the kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven. And we are not left alone. There are some understandings of the ascension that have Jesus sort of rocketing into space to stay there until some exciting and catastrophic revelation that brings him back. But that's not what the two men in white are saying to the disciples that watch him ascend. They're saying, why are you staring up as if he is gone? Do you not know that in the same way that you have seen him, as if a cloud closed across him, as if he has slipped into the other room and a curtain has fallen across the entrance, do you not know that he'll be back and forth? Do you not know that he will return as often as God finds opportunity to advance the kingdom in your lives? Do you not know that he has promised you the Holy Spirit so that you can see when he is among you, doing God's work, and you can participate in it? Do you not know that? For when you hear that good news, you'll not be standing up looking as though you're waiting for something to happen. You'll be following his command to go back to Jerusalem, wait for the Holy Spirit, and then to become his witnesses in that city, in the larger territory, and to the ends of the world. That same promise is for us. That same commandment is for us. And it takes a form that's very similar to the community that Peter is writing to, that we will suffer if we walk in this way. But it is through that suffering that we are redeemed, that we come to believe the truth of the gospel, and that God witnesses through our lives of its truth to others. Jesus prays today in the Gospel of John. He prays in the presence of his disciples that God will glorify him as he completes the work that God has given him to do. So it's worth asking, what is that work? What is that work? The work that Jesus did was to defeat evil by the power of God's love, to defeat evil in the form of demon possession, which he cast out by the power of the love of God, to defeat evil in the form of people that were oppressed and hungry by feeding them with full divine generosity, by healing people of infirmities so that they could be restored to communion with their neighbors. What Jesus did was in every instance use the power of love to defeat evil. And every time you do that, evil is going to rear up and fight back. And that's what happened in Jesus' story. Evil kept coming back with more and more challenging, with more and more threats, until finally we reach an end game on the cross when the full power of the Roman Empire is thrown against Jesus to treat him with complete, humiliating indifference. And at every step of that journey, he responds not by seeing the evil empire, but by seeing the human beings, by giving the chief priests a sense that the Messiah was present, by giving Pilate a vision of what good government could look like, by providing for his mother and his disciples, even from the cross, for fulfilling prophecy so that we could be encouraged and inspired and believe. And at every step, as Jesus loved in the face of evil, a victory was won that we participate in now. Jesus is in heaven now, at the right hand of God, full of authority and power to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is where God is already fully reigning. And because of that, we don't have to be afraid. Because of that, we don't have to fight back with evil when evil comes at us. Because of that, we can endure a little bit of trouble. And by the grace of God, the bigger trouble, if it comes in response to our following Jesus in Jesus' way. But this is the test we can always be doing. When someone comes at us to accost us for following a different set of values, for following in a way that resists violence, that resists humiliating other people, that resists fighting when we are fought against, but instead loves people so that God can overcome evil through us, we can expect we're going to have to be patient. But let us take courage in the promise that Jesus is always coming closer. The cloud is always opening and closing. Jesus is always slipping between heaven and where we are. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, when we perceive him among us, continuing the work of redeeming the world, we can thank God and participate in that work ourselves, in whatever small or large ways the Spirit gives us power. I give thanks for Mr. Darrell Davis and for the example that he shows us of just how much good can be done by the simple, persistent power of curious love in the face of something that seems evil and ugly, and for the people that have been freed through his ministry. May God also give us faith in Jesus Christ, who sits at God's right hand, who rules all of heaven and earth, and who is always coming and going in our lives so that God's redeeming work can be completed and so that we may experience God's salvation by being part of it. Thanks be to God.